Five, four, three, two, one. You are listening to the Mango Tea Podcast with Jody and DK.
We are a nonpartisan Jamaican and Caribbean podcast for the diaspora. We give you tea with a slice of mango and information on current events, politics and politics, finance, sports, and culture. We created this podcast for the diaspora to know what's happening in the Caribbean beyond the gossip.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
And we're recording. You okay, friend?
Welcome, people. It's the end of the year. This is episode 41 of the Mango Tea Podcast.
Woohoo!
Look at us. 41 episodes.
41. I mean, we're going to have 42. We have something fun next week.
We have something fun.
We have decided, we are so excited about 2020. We want to do the top 10.
Top 11. It was so good we had to put in an extra one.
Yeah. We were debating about this last night. Like, y'all know how we talk. Like, debate.
Talk a lot.
Talk the things.
Talk the things. But this is definitely an exciting episode. We're doing the top 11 things of 2020. And if you know anything about 2020, you know it was a very interesting year. There's one thing we will not talk about. Y'all know what happened in 2020, but we'll leave that to the side. But beyond that, 2020 was interesting to the bone. There was a lot of mangoes and there was a lot of tea.
Too much.
Like, too much.
And it wasn't even related to the thing. It was just in general, like a hot
mess.
Like hot tea.
I'm like boiling over. It's almost like, okay, all right, I asked you for a cup. You're giving me the whole kettle.
Yes. Like, listen, Mas Joe tell me, say, must get one look a cup. And yeah, give me this big cup. Oh, yeah.
Wait, for lovers of tea, for us, what tea would you, if you had to describe 2020 as a tea, what tea would you describe it as? That just came to my head just now.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, a good one.
Definitely Cersei tea.
Oh my god, you stole my answer. That's it. I'm done. That's exactly what I was thinking.
What do they call it in America?
I don't know. Cersei. I think Haitians call it Sawasi.
Sawasi?
I think my coworker, she was telling me, I think they call it Sawasi and it's the equivalent to Cersei.
No, there's a specific tea. Like, I had it once this year and it was it aloe tea? Well, yeah, it would have been aloe.
Could have been
just thirsty. Yeah.
But 2020 is definitely one of those bitter teas. And I feel like what's going to happen is that with everyone that has gone through something, it's going to be one of those bitter teas that you will benefit from in the long run. Well, at least that's what I'm hoping. You know, like Cersei, it's bitter, but it's like, you know, what's good for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that 2020 is going to be one of those years where, yeah, we went through a lot, but we're really going to grow and evolve from whatever happened within the last 12 months.
You know, it'd be cool if they had, like, if you made, like, a shot, like, an immunity shot of Cersei tea. Yeah.
Business idea. Write it down. Okay, sorry, people. Okay, that is patented. If anybody used that, you must credit Jody from the Mango Tea Podcast. Done deal.
You know, when I add the turmeric and the ginger stuff?
Yes.
Which is all is super sweet, but, like,
I'm writing that idea down. If you don't use it, I shall.
Of course. Let me try it. Let me do some research. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it.
Yeah, but 2020, definitely the year of craziness. Well, we're going to start. We're going to start from the bottom.
Definitely. Not really the bottom.
Yeah. Some.
All right.
So number 10. I'll start. I'll kick it off. Bam, 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 bam. Number 10. We're talking about reggae artist Khaafi. She definitely had a great year this year. She became the first reggae artist and only female artist to win a Grammy this year, which is kind of shocking with a female thing. Because when you think of so many artists like maybe Afrika, I mean, we have a lot of female reggae artists that I felt like could have won. No knock at Spice. I love Spice. But we know they're not giving Spice a Grammy for a reggae album. Sorry.
I mean, my thing has been always like, why are we propping up these institutions that don't know what we do and don't recognize who we are? That's like, why?
True.
Like,
people they're always giving Bob Marley's ears the reggae awards anyway. So.
if it said Bob Marley on it,
it's a
reggae album.
It's instant. That's it. As long as it's at Marley and that's it.
If a DJ come up and then remix them to some, put some spin on it, put in some rhythm, and it said Bob Marley,
that's it.
Win.
Yeah, because last year, I think Chronix was up for the awards. And I honestly, was it last year? One of those years where Chronix was up for his album and he did not win because there was another Marley in the category. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. His album was absolutely amazing.
He's a great artist. I went to his concert, I think Brooklyn, Brooklyn had a concert with him at the park, the park in Park Slope. And he is a great artist. Like when you talk about an art, he just he doesn't just make good music, but he performs. He makes you feel his performance.
Mm-hmm. I saw him at Some Fest in 2013, and this is before in Bus, and I was there like, yes, and everybody around me was like, "Warm to this art now, share this," and I was like, "Yes,
that's Houston from them."
Yes.
Best.
Yes. Congratulations, Coffee. Yeah. This is, again, this is way overdue.
Yeah, she definitely deserved it.
Yeah, she definitely did.
She definitely
She had a monster year.
She had a great year. Billboard crowned her one of the 21 acts under 21 who are making a global impact in 2020. And that's a big... I saw her yesterday in a campaign for H&M, and I'm like, girl is doing it. She's doing big things. She had two songs that came out this year, one with a remix with Buju Banton. And trust me, I'm just excited for her because I feel like she's gonna take things to another level.
Yes, and she do a song with Governor. It's called Rapture Remix.
Lord. Okay, all right, Jody. Ooh, all right, Jody, you feeling it?
Yes.
You are clearly feeling that song.
That song and Governor. Anything Governor?
Governor is definitely a good artist. But definitely shout out to Coffee for having an absolutely amazing year, girl. That's number... Wait, sorry. That was number 11. Sorry, we're starting from 11.
Yeah. I let you run with it because...
Yeah, it's all right. Y'all used to us. We started from 11 and we going right up. But just a mention, we talk about celebrating people at Coffee. 2020 definitely had its years of messiness when it comes down to Jamaica and dreads. And when we talk about celebrating somebody like Coffee who celebrates our style and our dreads, we're thinking of the case that we did an episode on this year where the Jamaican High Court, Jamaican High Court decides that it is okay for a school in Jamaica to ban a student who has dreadlocks from coming to school. And we're thinking this is 2020.
Yo, I cannot get over your comment. Ruby Bridges of Jamaica.
2020?
Ruby Bridges. Yo.
The hotness.
Listen to the episode. I've been real tears.
This is
because when Dakari said that, me and Kay are just like, what? Like, instantly sink.
Oh, wait. I'm just realizing what you said. Yeah, but I'm like, it just tells me that we have come a far way, but we're still a far way behind. So while we celebrate one, and it's weird because Jamaica celebrates Coffee, they celebrate Bob Marley, they celebrate Miss Universe who had the dreads a couple years ago. They celebrate Buju Banton, but then here we go telling a student who has dreads, hey, your hair smells like, what did they say her hair smells like?
It looks like an Abelisonite. And the reason is because the principal says she's been doing this for 30 years and all the people then with dreadlocks always have lice.
And it never clean. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, so 2020.
Do better. But
that's the tea.
That's the tea. Congrats to Coffee though. Your mango. All right, let's move on to number 9.
Number 10.
Number 10. Wait. Number 10. All right. Number 10. That was number 11. I'm going to start with number 10. So this one was sad. If you're familiar, Liat Airlines, they're a small regional airline powering the Leeward Islands, Eastern Caribbean Islands. So it shuttered its doors in April, immediately, no warning, nothing, shut it down. So the company was founded in like 1956. And everybody, all my friends that have flown Liat has said, if you fly that airline, you're risking your life.
Oh my gosh.
Because you know the look at airline, the look of plane then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. And I flew in one of those once.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, son.
That's not working.
You feel every bump. Like imagine being in that airplane when it's raining. Ooh. No. But it's unfortunate because it.
Hold on. That's almost like being in one of those, you know, those taxis that used to run by Alpha Tree in Jamaica for those people who are not from Jamaica. That sounds like one of those.
Yes.
That sounds like one of those. You feel every bump, every cranny between the four people that are in the back seat with you. The best.
But it's like. It was a great thing for the Caribbean islands when it was operating because it allowed tourists and people from the other Caribbean islands to go there to trade, to spend money, all that. Yeah. But so one of the reasons why they closed last year, they had a revenue loss of $4.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then COVID happened. And then no, they were like, oh, yeah, we had the huge loss, and we'll probably need $5.4 million.
No, all right, RIP to you guys, because if we're going to bring back any airline, I'm all for us to bring back your.
They did bring it back. They had their first flight on November 1st, a little ray of hope.
Who gave them five point whatever million?
So a group
them of... find the money. Wait. I just remember that.
Find the money. I was thinking that, actually.
For those who are confused.
So it's like five Caribbean governments that came together and said, all right, let's get this together because it's expensive, but we need the money. Mm-hmm. We need the money. We want the money. So we're going to see what happens. I have hope. I mean, with the hopefully the long-term effects of the COVID vaccine and the antibody test, mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to come back up. It'll be slow. But they will come back.
They'll make it back. Yeah. Listen, I'm always rooting for everything Caribbean. So if it is beneficial to the islands, power to the people. Let's get it done. I'd honestly still love to see Air Jamaica come back though, but I guess that's a done deal. So let's move on with Liet.
I mean, Air Jamaica is now a Caribbean airline, so.
No, but it was nice when you listen. I'm having a moment in my childhood. I remember seeing Air Jamaica. You see the hummingbird on the wings, and you go in the plane and you see all these Jamaican airline hostess or air hostess or whatever they call them these days. And you remember the uniform they used to have with the red and the pink? And it was just, you know, Jamaican people, when they feel like they're like a stocking, they feel like they're the
The 90s.
Yeah.
They also called the airline Cocaine Airline. So
you had to do that?
Yes. Listen.
She had to drop the tea. Is that right?
I had to. All right. Number nine. We're going from like happy to sad to sad.
Yes.
All right.
It's a good mix. It's a good mix.
This episode, this one though.
A lot of tea.
It is December 5th.
It is December 5th.
And what's been happening, but not even through our region, in our community.
Mm-hmm.
The major hype scandal.
The major hype scandal.
And honestly, you know, I think it brings to light domestic violence and domestic situations within our communities.
It does.
Because while this one was so public, mm-hmm. this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is ever done. And there's been an increase in domestic violence throughout the entire region and murders related to that. Like in Trinidad, I think within the first 3 or 4 days, mm-hmm. 4 women were murdered by their domestic partners.
Mm-hmm.
In Jamaica, and you guys know we're going to talk about Jamaica because we're from Jamaica. There was this man that thought
Ooh.
His woman, his mm-hmm. girlfriend, domestic mm-hmm. partner, was cheating on him. So he killed her and her daughter.
And that was based on an assumption.
An assumption, yes. So now let's get into the major hype thing. All right. So it's been a lot. So we're going to give you cliff notes.
If for people that watch, which I did not, and unfortunately, I know where I was supposed to have done my research for this segment of the episode, but it's an 82-minute live stream video.
Unfortunately, I asked
a lot of my time. That's a whole...
That's a sleeping time.
Yeah, that's a lot of research I could be doing on something else. That's a lot of
Yeah.
That's a whole session of a glass of wine. Like, I mean, I could have had a glass of wine and watched the video, but I was not interested in watching the video.
No, there's mixy.
Yeah, it's very mixy. I mean, the first, his ex-girlfriend came out with the tape of the accusation. She did her thing.
Well,
and he's now clarifying. I don't want to accuse him because I don't have all the facts. And I also, I'm usually always prone to believe in the victim. But I also, at the end of the day, there are women out there that will blame and falsely accuse men of certain things. So you know what I'm going to do? We'll just talk about what we know. And then I honestly will not. I will give an opinion on domestic violence because that obviously is a big issue in the Caribbean. But I will do that without trying to accuse him only because I don't know the facts yet.
Yeah, I think that's valid. All right. So here's what I know and how it started. So Major
Hype. Hard to take them, Jody.
All right. So Major Hype has been having, he's been having a 2020. Yeah. So it all started back in like, it wasn't related to this, but I think that's where the spiral came. Earlier this year, when the Versus battle happened between Beanie and Bounty, Major Hype was in his feelings because him and Tony, the greatest DJ of all time, Tony Mataran. They wanted to do something similar on their platforms. Beanie and Bounty said no, and they went to do Versus. So, like, you know, they were in their feelings. Swizz Beatz said, relax, and they did. So then, recently, I think it was a week and a half ago. So, again, Major Hype went on live, which, like, people, stop going on live if you're coming with this foolishness. Major Hype went on live, and he was like, a soca artist is sleeping with his girlfriend.
Ooh.
So then, a very popular, I think it was Fala Soka, they did like a pomet square of potential people.
Messy. Let's put up the cards. One, the cards two, together. Three,
and in
four.
The center was Major Hype. So they did that, the square. And then as Major Hype did, he did like a lot of lives about this. Talking about his girlfriend, which is embarrassing, multiple lives. And then you would Fala Soka would cross out people. Like, I think who was on it? Someone ridiculous. Like, I forgot who was on it, an American artist. And I was like, wait, what is going on? So eventually it came out that it was Moto. He's a St. Lucian artist. And listen, I'll cock up everything. Love him. He's an amazing artist. So
Major, what name? Mojo? Moto. Okay. But I guess we'll have him on an episode next year. Ooh.
Yo, anything can happen if you believe. If you want us to add to interview him, let us know.
Add him to the list.
So then his girlfriend came out, or ex at this point, and said he actually has been abusing her.
Oh, wait, backtrack a little bit with what comes down to Major Hype, the COVID situation. So prior to that, he had posted he was in the hospital.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
He had posted that he was in the hospital and he was asking for prayers. And apparently, I don't know if it was an assumption or he said he had caught COVID. So he was in the hospital for a while. Strange enough, after that moment, he was photoed in Atlanta without a mask.
Hey,
calling you out a little bit, but photo without a mask in Atlanta in a club. And I'm like, okay, so you got COVID and then you got better and then you up in a club. I mean, I get it. This is your bread and butter, but you up in a club the next week without a mask.
Wait, you know, he has a birthday party next week in Atlanta in a club.
Why am I not surprised?
All right, let's go back to the story, right? We may be butchering the story again. Yes, again, we're talking about what we've seen. And what people have told us because of what they've seen. So, okay, so his girlfriend went on Instagram and was like, no, he's been abusing me. He hits me, he does all this stuff. And then she posted an image of her with a bloodshot eye. And a lot of the things that she said, you're like, this is pretty, for me, from what I've known, what I know and what I talk to people about, when I conversate with other people about a situation, I'm leaning a lot towards her side. So the revenge porn thing came out. And thus far, none of like the big soca artists have come out and said anything at all. So then this is where it went south. I believe. Well, before that, I think someone had mentioned that they went to they got counseling. They went to a Haitian spiritual advisor.
Let's call it what it is. A voodoo.
Obia man. I mean, like, no shade to Obia people. Mm. You do you. But you know what? I was thinking.
Stay far.
No, I feel like we shouldn't, like, demonize these religions. But, you know, that's another episode.
Yeah.
But, like, if you wanted to get, like, preaching, you could have got to one Paco church. You know, the Paco church, and when they wear the all whites. And do there's something they could have got to. There's a Paco church in Flatbush, right? In that Flatbush.
Jordan is many other places.
Yeah. So like, why can't you go that? So then after she came out, he was like, "Well, I met her in Miami. She was a groupie, and then she did all the groupie things.
Messy."
And he said that he was using comedy as relief because he said that he was abused as a child. Yeah. Or he, like, indirectly said he was abused as a child.
No, he said it. He was molested as a child. I think he was 4, by a man. And also that she had called him out of his name. So she called him the F word. The faggot. She called him a faggot. If we're able to say that on here.
But this behavior.
That is part of also the trauma that he apparently has gone through.
Because what he's doing now, the behavior that he's exuding now, is similar to what researchers have said is a common behavior of people that were molested as younger. Yeah. So then he had the live, the 80, the 80 minute live, which if you had time to watch all of that, God bless you. God bless you.
I have some work for y'all to do if y'all got 8 minutes away.
So then he got, I don't know how he got it. He got her old phone and he was showing pictures and video. Like he showed a video of her having sex with someone and like of dudes sending her text messages and like genitalia pictures. Everything. I mean, everything.
Messy.
Was
pouring out.
I don't know if he realized that we live in America and revenge. You can go to jail, prison for revenge porn. So I don't know if anyone called the authorities yet. Mm-hmm. If not, they'll be calling them soon for this. So
yeah, I'm more than likely she's gonna do it. But the whole entire story is messy. I mean, there's clearly a message behind this. But then the whole, I mean, everybody loved it. It was almost like this weird soap opera that everyone was talking about.
But then, like, I mean, these are, like, talkings. But people have said that, like, his ex-wife can corroborate the story. And another person that he dated can corroborate the story as well. And I think the second person is going to come out publicly soon. If they do, let's see. But this has been getting, like, a lot of international, well, not international, but it's been getting attention on mainstream media sources, like Hollywood Unlocked, the IG sources, Hollywood Unlocked, and it was in a story on The Shade Room. And you know, The Shade Room is the number one source of news and mess.
That's where you get your news from, that and Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is more accurate, but you know what? The Shade Room. But yeah, like this is very sad all around, and I'm really hoping it brings attention to domestic violence in the Caribbean and in our communities.
While I'm not accusing him of whatever it said and done, because obviously I said I don't know the details, there are too many instances of stories of men who think they have some form of authority over women. That would allow them to verbally, physically, or even sexually abuse them. It's this thing with Caribbean men. And I feel like if the story is true, I almost doubt that he would, it's sad, but I almost doubt that Major Hype will be canceled for too long. Only because it's almost ingrained in the nature of Caribbean men that this is almost a part of our story, which is sad. Because what's going to happen is that maybe a month or, if this story is true, as I said before, a month or two from now, he is going to be back touring and we're not going to cancel him. He's never, that's just, it's a sad story because we also, and the Caribbean is very patriarchal.
I don't know about that. I don't know that. I feel like in the year of our Lord 2020.
You think so?
He'll be canceled. Yeah.
But you have to also remember, no. You have to think of his audience though. I mean, there's a younger generation of Caribbean people that are growing up now who are informed.
That's all of his, all his audience, young people.
Okay, you really think he's going to be canceled with all the young people? Listen, the comments that I've heard, I won't even talk about, but I've seen a lot of the comments under his live where people are saying you're canceled, you're an abuser. But when I hear people talking about the story and how Caribbean women and men can be sometimes, when it comes down to this, and how they, a lot of times, what they tend to blame the victim,
yeah,
I would not be That's surprised if they didn't cancel him.
Yeah. I mean...
I've heard stories.
And you know what?
They talk about, she does something. She must do something. She calls him for beat her, or maybe she lick him, or she says something, or whatever.
Yeah, that's a valid point, because I've seen it before social media, even. Yeah. I've seen it before. And there have been controversies. Like Lisa Hyper, do you remember that? So she was a part of the Gaza Empire under Vibes Cartel, and there was images going around of her doing fellatio on a man, and she got blamed.
Of course.
She got, and her career died.
And that always happens.
You know what?
The man's career maybe took off at that point.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on from this messy story. Anyways, that's definitely a big highlight for the Caribbean, apparently, for 2020. Yeah.
That's in 2020, not over.
But another big highlight is...
All right.
Kamala, 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 Kamala.
Yes. So we're going to do the Jamaican Kamala Kamala, and then the Trinidad Kamala.
Oh, look at her. She got the accents right. She got it right, darling. She got it right, people.
All right.
Kamala
Harris.
Listen.
You start first. The next one.
Yeah, because you got the messy one. Oh, God. So the Jamaican Indian American made history this year as the first Black woman to be elected as Vice President of the United States of America.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Oxtail and cook at a White House.
Everything. Can you imagine? We have jerk pan outside. We got Oxtail. We got Sarah. We can have a state dinner with Andrew Holness, even though Jody will not approve. But we will not have, we're not going to just have a backyard. We're not going to be having barbecues, you know. What we're going to have? We're going to have Sun Clash outside. We're going to have Jerk Pan outside. We're going to have all of that at the White House. That is what we're anticipating. And Mango Tea Podcast will be invited to the White House. Pray God. Listen, but while her victory is being celebrated by many, it is definitely noteworthy. I don't know if you noticed or anyone else noticed. She did not mention her father nor her heritage during her victory speech. And I don't know if I'm the only person that did not notice that. But everybody, if you follow her story, you'd understand that she has a strained relationship with her father. Apparently, her father, who is Jamaican, and we're not bashing Jamaican men, because there are a lot of Jamaican men out there worth celebrating. I celebrate my dad.
Like you.
I celebrate my dad because he's been there. But she did not mention him. Most of the time when she talks about her parents, she only refers to her mother and her mother's heritage. So that definitely, for me, I thought it was something. I saw one or two articles and I saw people commenting on the fact that she never mentioned that. So while we celebrated her, that definitely is the tea. Because now her father, who is a professional man, it's not like, and that's the thing with, we always associate men that leave their children. We always, oh, they're my bum, or they're out of money, or they're like, they're not doing anything with their lives. Her father is, I think he was an, oh God, my notes. He's an economist. Something. At one point he might've been a professor. My apologies about that notes, but he's a professional. He went to college and everything. It just tells you, it's almost like, is it ingrained in the Jamaican culture?
You know what though? I feel like she mentions her Jamaican culture when it's convenient to her and the audience.
Yes, so like we're talking about marijuana.
Yes, when she was on the Breakfast Club and she was
of course.
I smoke a little weed. I'm Jamaican, right?
Yeah.
Perpetuating stereotype.
That's true. Yeah, it's convenient. And she doesn't talk about, that's a good point. That she,
like,
doesn't
talk about the positives. Like, talk about coffee.
Exactly.
Talk about curry oxtail.
Yeah, something. Like, I think I remember her once mentioning maybe rice and peas. But other than that, I don't think she mentions anything beyond weed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
All right, let's move on to
that. Let's talk about your Kamala.
Oh my gosh. Let's just say, okay. So I've been heavy in Caribbean. Like, I'm always on Caribbean Twitter, Jamaican Twitter, Trini Twitter, all that. Mm-hmm. And one of the most ridiculous tweets I've ever heard. Well, actually, there's a couple of tweets.
Yeah.
Someone said that Kamala is the biggest embarrassment of the country and the region.
And where we're referring to Kamala, we're talking about Kamala from Trinidad, people.
Kamala Prasad Bisser. Hmm. I probably butchered that. So she was the first female leader of the country. Hmm. She's also tied to a very public and international money scandal, where a representative from FIFA, the international like football association, mm-hmm. he emptied the money, allegedly, and he gave the money to Kamala's political group for, you know, campaigns and all this. So then, let's get to the mess. Mm. So this year, we had like 7 or 5 elections in the Caribbean, and Trinidad was one of them. So it was a big thing. Trinidad's borders were shut down. It was a very racist, very, very racist election. And we'll talk about that and the messiness of that. But they had the party that she represented is called the UNC. And you know how people like publish like their plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Number one, two, they had something similar. And they had at first it was called a 7-point plan. Uh-huh. And in the 7-point plan, it specifically said they're going to create a dome over Ooh. Trinidad and Tobago to battle illegal immigration. And Trini Twitter went in. Like within 5 seconds of them releasing that, you saw like pictures of domes, everyone was tweeting, what kind of foolishness, why should I holler, whatever. Everything. I remember when we, the minute we found out about it, we were crying for like 10 minutes.
That was definitely a post.
We posted it and we put it in our story and people were going off. Someone texted me and they were like, did you see the story? And I was like, yeah, I already saw it. And he went up. He was like, this is the most ridiculous thing. This is embarrassing. And to show you how they realize the error of their mistakes, they took the plan down. Mm. And they did an 8-point plan. And instead of having a dome, it was now creation of a virtual net around Trinidad to block illegal immigration.
Virtual net.
So they paid the copywriters for what you need to do. So the mess continues. Trinidad Twitter is unforgiving of this woman. Unforgiving. Someone had also said Kamala walked so Donald Trump could run.
Ooh.
So the UNC, her political party,
ouch.
They released some very racist ads during the election. And Kamala came out and said she was unaware of the ads.
Mm.
You are the party leader. I like it. And they're like, who said this was okay to release? And I mean, Trinidad, we talked about this with DJ Jell and Richie in one of our past episodes. And they were like, racism is rampant between the Indo-Caribbean and Afro-Caribbean communities in Trinidad. And it's not just around social and public lines. It's along religious lines, because even in the Muslim communities, they're separated by Indo-Caribbeans, Afro-Caribbeans. So it's like, what?
It's messy.
And then, like, the biggest thing. So when Joe Biden was, it came out that Joe Biden was president-elect, right? She sent over a congratulatory, like, note or, like, comment, all this, like, a letter. And then it came out that the copy, the words, are word for word. Big, 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 big time plagiarism.
Worse than Melania Trump and Michelle Obama that moment.
They literally copied and pasted a speech from an opposition leader in the UK. Literally, word for word. And then she was like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. And then her communications team came out and said it was they made the error. And I'm just like, if you're going to copy and paste, at least mix up the word then.
Yeah.
Google, what is another word? How can you say this different?
Switch some sentences up, mix up a sentence or confuse people so we don't think it's weird. Come on.
Move some punctuation around. put something here. Listen, that's what a lot of people did in college and high school. I definitely did that in high school.
They are so like, not Caribbean.
Like you weren't under the wire. You weren't
not a proper scammer.
It wasn't 11:45 and the assignment was due at 12:01 and you didn't start writing it yet.
And it also was something that they could have just wrote themselves. It's a congratulatory note. It is not that simple. You could all, it is not that, I mean, not simple. It is not that hard and not that complicated. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, the messy.
You know what? You know what? After the election, after the racism, after the 12-point plan, the plagiarism, all that, do you know the party reelected her as their leader?
Why were you surprised?
No, but like, that's embarrassing. Ever since like 2013 with the scandal, you still gonna vote in this woman? No.
70 million people voted for Trump after his 4 years of scandal. Why are we surprised? It is also the year. It is also the year of 2020. Can't surprise about nothing else.
I give you that. I give you that. Okay. But, all right, so.
But to continue talking about the whole bunch of mess, or what would it? Number seven. To continue talking about losers.
We're going to do our top losers.
We're doing the top losers, and that's our number six, what, the top. The
seven.
Top,
seven. Yeah, we're at seven now. Yeah, because coffee bad. Was.
We can't go. Anyway, number seven, the biggest losers of the Caribbean for 2020. All right, I'm going to go with my one. So my biggest loser of 2020 is definitely Dr. Peter Phillips. And for anybody that does not know who Dr. Peter Phillips is, he's a former president of the Jamaica's People's National Party. And he lost big. In the election in Jamaica that happened in September. Definitely, I think his loss is definitely a combination of a messy campaign that was filled with a lack of enthusiasm and a divided party. Like, if you know anything about Jamaican politics right now, the People's National Party is in shambles. Complete shambles. There's leaked things coming out. Lisa Hanna was running against Mark Golding the other day, and that was, I thought, was a whole mess because I have my opinion on Mark Golding. So the party needs a lot of repairing, and I feel like he was just a combination of this entire mess. They lost bad, and he just needs to sit. He just needs to find somewhere in Strawberry Hill and retire. Find somewhere in a nice part of Strawberry Hill and retire and sit down there with his children and his family and just enjoy life.
Oh my God.
So he's definitely my pick for biggest loser of the Caribbean in 2020. Who's yours?
Biggest loser is David Granger. David Granger is a politician from Guyana. If you remember, I've talked about it like a million times. Guyana had an election. It was a big election because they just signed the ExxonMobil contract, which we'll talk about up above. Uh-huh. And the election, it was like super tight, like super, super tight. And like 10 political parties tried to contest the election. Mm-hmm. And then this man said, no, we're going to block all the votes. And he tried to block the ballots. Mm. So similar to what Trump is doing.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
Yeah. And there's a few other things, but we need to move on because we're chatting too much.
As always, so we're hit. We are at number six. So number six, top 11 things of 2020 is one of my most exciting. We could put it at number one, but it's one of the most exciting things I think that happened in 2020. We are talking about the versus battle between the legendary
Man
and Bouncy Killer.
Listen, I had my pom-pom shorts and my Rasta wife beater on deck. My makeup was done. When I had hair, my hair was, I think it was blue or gray at the time. Yeah. My hair was done, everything.
Listen, it was good. It was good. And listen, some people said Beanie Man won because of the catalog of hits that he has. And we could not also forget the Billy. The Billy movement was definitely a hit. And then there are other people who said that Bouncy Killer won because his stage presence and freestyle. And for me, I think I loved the way Bouncy Killer was on the stage. He was just in the moment. But there are some moments and I'm like, this not look like Bouncy Killer, you know. But I shall refrain from saying what I think about the moment. But overall,
yeah, it was great.
Moment, It was good. It was definitely a win for the Caribbean. It was a win for the culture. It was a win for the people. It was a win for us. It also brought about one thing. It highlighted the fact that this versus battle is nothing new to us. Stage, a song clash has been a Jamaican thing way before Versus. So if y'all want to do your research, no, we're not trying to hype it up and make it seem like everything is Jamaican, but everything is sometimes Jamaican.
So in another episode of the podcast, like look how like we didn't plan to be like reference this episode. But we talked about the Versus battle with the culture doctor.
Yeah.
And she was like, song clash culture has been the biggest contribution to the Caribbean, to the to the world, because it started all these subgenres. Like it did. And I think it's being appreciated on an American level platform is an amazing thing. Cause I mean, Sun Clash is big in Europe. Like when we go to Notting Hill last year, there was a few Sun Clash, which was an amazing experience. You should go. But yeah, like overall, it was great. I think the battle was won by the memes.
Ooh.
The memes won. I don't care. Yeah. Like, multi, sure.
Yeah. But the beanie memes over the bounty memes? Definitely. So listen, shout out. Listen, I'm a little shade at Beanie at the belly, but he's looking really good now because he got his trainer.
Yes.
So.
And she's a trainer for Elephant Man too. And he, which is hilarious.
He's a living legend.
So. And you know what though? That versus performance, it changed the way they did verses, and it set the tone. It set the tone. Because I think after that, they had Fabulous and Jadakiss, and it wasn't the same. The only reason why it was hype was because Jadakiss was drunk. And then who did they have after that was big? It was like the Monica.
Yeah, the Monica and Brandy one was big.
Yeah.
Oh, a missing part of the whole thing though. The Billboard magazine had a cover, and they had a lot of the artists from the Versus battle, and they honestly left out Beanie Man and Bunty. And I think Timbaland actually redid the cover. I think he did like a Photoshop thing, and he put Beanie and Bunty at the front.
Yeah,
and he was talking about how important they were to the entire thing because of the whole history of dancehall and reggae and sound clash. I think I was very messy of Billboard, but I'm very glad that he acknowledged that they did something stupid and he kind of, in a way, corrected that. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But onward we go.
All right. Number 5.
All right. You just listened to number 11 to 6 of our top 20 Tea and Mango of 2020. Next week, we're going to go over our top 5. And if anything, it's going to be hilarious because 2020 was literally one for the books. Thank you again for listening. Follow us on social media at Mango Tea Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Mango Tea Podcast on all major streaming platforms. Share with your friends, share with your family, and don't forget to download. Thank you again. See you next week.